little while, we've been talking about relationship and altars and sacrifice. And I want to talk for just a little while about preparing for the promise. Preparing for the promise. Lord, I'm asking you to bless us today. Open our minds, our hearts. Give us a desire to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants, Lord. Guide and keep each word that I speak in love and in your perfect will. God, I give you praise and glory in advance for what you're going to do in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. Bump your neighbor and tell him you look good in the house of the Lord today. So thankful to have the Sonniers here. Good to see Venatis here. He's been working, it seems like, around the clock the last few weeks, but we're glad they're here today. Glad that all of you are here. I want to take my text this morning from Numbers 33 and verse 49. We'll start right there. If you're turning in your Bibles, I'll give you just a moment. I will tell you at the close of service, it is the first Sunday, we will have communion. We would love for all of you to participate. Even if you don't take communion, just make a circle with us and come up and pray with us at the close of service. But Numbers 33, preparing for the promise. Numbers 33, verse 49, and they pitched by Jordan from Beth Jeshimoth, even unto Abel Shittim in the plains of Moab. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan in the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. Clean out, get rid of, straighten up, get your house in order. And ye shall dispose, that's what that means, and ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. Lord, I ask you again to touch this service. I'm asking you, Lord, to anoint us moving forward as a church. You know, spring cleaning is a practice of thoroughly cleaning out a house in the springtime. It's not a wash the dishes, fold the towels type of cleaning. It's not a, well, hey, I got the laundry done for this week. It's not the daily routine. Sometimes spring cleaning involves cleaning out the closets and cleaning out the garage and straighten it all out, the shed out back, and whitewashing the side of the house and detailing the cars and making sure everything is in right order, digging in the couch cushions and taking out all the loose chains and cookie crumbs and things that have accumulated over time. Spring cleaning is you're preparing. It's out with the old and in with the new kind of experience. And the term is also used metaphorically for any kind of heavy duty cleaning or organizing enterprise. A person who gets their affairs in order before an audit or inspection could be said to be doing some spring cleaning. We call it spring cleaning because spring is usually the time before birth or before the harvest. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of getting things right. It's a time of expectancy. And in an expectant mom, they call this nesting. Nesting. And I have literally lived through this experience over the last few months and weeks. And not long before the baby is born or the harvest, a mom-to-be gets an unrelenting urge to clean. Y'all have been praying for me, and I thank you for that. We're going to clean. We're going to get things in order. We're going to clean things out. And you don't need that anymore. Get rid of it. Why do you have that? You've been carrying that around for years. I've heard all of these statements over the last few weeks. And if you don't see me Wednesday night, please say a prayer for me. Come looking for me. But you got to be ready. The baby is coming. I am going home today, and at some point I will be hanging some pictures and some items in the nursery to finish up, because the baby is here and it's got to be ready. And you've got to pack a hospital bag, and you've got to have things in order, prepare the nursery, get everything, all in expectancy of this bounty that she is about to receive. I recently found myself very grateful this past Tuesday for the concept of expectantly nesting syndrome that my wife has had. When we found ourselves out of the doctor's office and into the hospital 3 weeks before our baby boy was expected and Chip was due to arrive, because of her planning and because of this God-given nesting syndrome, we were prepared. We had the bags packed in the back of the car. We were prepared for when the little promise came into the world. I literally went from work, picked her up to go to a routine doctor's appointment, and found out you're spending the night. 3 nights later, it still hadn't left. Thank God for her nesting syndrome. That little promise decided to arrive and to come, and her body was ready and he was ready. And thank God for that too, because he was 7 pounds, 12 ounces. 3 more weeks might have killed her. But we are thankful that he is here and safe and healthy. You know, but in our opening text, we find the Israelites pitching their tents in the plains of Moab, in the Valley of Shittim. And it's also known as the Valley of Achesis. And if you would allow me the liberty this morning, I would like to consider this valley of spring cleaning, if you were, before they were to receive their long overdue awaited blessing of the promised land. You've got to understand a little bit about this tribe and this people. They wandered through the wilderness for over 40 years. They had a wilderness wandering. The Bible talks about it in detail. It refers to the plight of the Israelites due to their disobedience and unbelief. Nearly 3,500 years ago, the Lord delivered his people from the Egyptian bondage as described in Exodus chapters 1 through 12. They were to take possession of the land God had promised their forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey in Exodus 3 and verse 8. And prior to the entry, however, they became convinced that they could not oust the current inhabitants of the land. And even though God told them to go up, this is your land, they just didn't believe it. And their lack of belief in God's word and the promises brought forth to them brought on the wrath of God. And he cursed them with 40 years of wilderness wandering until the unbelieving generation had all died off, never stepping foot in the promised land. Every one of the doubters, they didn't make the trip to the promised land. The actual trip, if you look at it, from Egypt to Canaan land should have been an 11-day event. They turned an 11-day journey into a lifetime of 40 years of wilderness wondering. The valley, let's just look a little further into the valley. Numbers is an interesting book of the Bible. It's not necessarily a fun one to read through, but Numbers contains exhausting statistics, population counts and tribal and priestly figures and other numerical data. And it follows the Israelites through their journey and almost 40 years of wandering aimlessly in the desert, over and over and over, making the same routine mistakes over and over and over. I wonder this morning if you would just begin to think of your own spirit and your own life. How many times has God tried to bring you to the promised land, bring you to victory, bring you to joy and happiness and fulfillment and contentment and right relationship with Him? But we have messed it up. We have boggled it up with our lack of faith, with our lack of prayer, with our lack of commitment, with our lack of being good stewards of our time, testimony, treasures, with just going through the motions of everyday wandering. And what should have been just a short process, we've turned into a lifetime of frustration and disappointment and heartache. Can I tell you today? Today is the day of salvation. Today, prepare, prepare, prepare for the promise. The promise is yours. The blessings are there. You can receive it. You can achieve it. All you got to do is activate your faith and with faith believe it. Begin to worship in spirit and in truth and allow God to reach down, to change some things up in your life and walk with Him circumspectly, respectfully, consistently. This particular chapter in Numbers 33 outlines over 40 different locations that the Israelites pitched their tents through their journey, starting with leaving Egypt and ending here in the plains of Moab in the valley of Shittim. The significance of this particular valley is that it is the final place the Israelites camped before crossing the Jordan into the promised land. Ever find yourself being tested for long periods of time? Anybody? It seems like you just can't quite get over the hump, get over the victory. You're almost there. You've almost got it, but it's just like right out of your reach. Anybody? Yeah. Anybody ever been there? Maybe with family or jobs or relationships or finances or a home situation, maybe with your children. We like to think that God is trying to teach us some big important lesson and that will make us mightier and more important in His kingdom. However, sometimes it's just God revealing and even trying to overcome our own human shortcomings. A lack of faith, disobedience, stubbornness. I know there's nobody here in this room that is stubborn. I don't know why the ladies are all laughing. Husbands, that's not a good sign. Inflexibility, fear, doubt. The Israelites, their journey became longer and more impossible, not because God needed it to be more difficult, but because they made it more difficult on themselves. With their own lack of faith, with their own lack of disobedience, with their own murmuring and complaining and just attitudes, questioning God's direction. Well, you know, God, if you would have just done, come on, come on. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. So here we are in this valley, and geographically all we have to do is enter the promised land just right across the river there, the Jordan, and yet we're stuck here because even after 40 years, we're still not ready. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the promised land, let's look at it just briefly. The promised land was a land that was promised to Abraham. We talked about it this morning and his descendants in Genesis. And God referred to this land as a land that flowed with milk and honey, which symbolized abundant provision. They didn't have to worry. Abundant natural resources, if you will. And God's people would want for absolutely nothing. To a nomadic tribe such as these people were, it meant a home with roots. It meant putting down some roots. It meant a place where there was going to be peace and they wouldn't have to mix or war with other people. It was their place. It was a resting place. So we've left Egypt and we're one step away from the promised land, and yet here we sit. We camp, and after 40 years, we continue to wait. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No. What's the hold up now? Even after all this time, God's chosen people are still not ready. They're stuck in this valley, and it's time for a good spring cleaning. If we're going to be able to live in God's blessings, there's a few things that we have to move from the valley into the promised land. First, we've got to purge the body. Despite all of their disobedience while camping in the valley, they continue to take part in idolatrous worship and immoral relations with the Moabites and the Midianites. They continued to live in sin. They continued to live life in their way instead of sacrificing human desire and becoming what God wanted them to be. In turn, God sent a plague that destroyed over 24,000 men and women and of the Israelite tribe. God purged the camp, refusing to allow sin to enter into the promised land. We are the body. Faith Temple, we are part of this body. We've been promised new things. We've been promised new land. We've been promised a new phase. We've been promised blessings. But we've got to be willing to be obedient and ready. If you want to be a part of this new thing, you've got to be ready. You've got to prepare your heart for yourself for the promises. Nobody can make you live for God, Sean. Joe, nobody can make you come to church and live for God. Ian, nobody can make you be a part of the youth group and live for God and follow after Christ. Alberto, nobody can make you lead your family to truth but you. Only you. There are things that all of us have to work on. Maybe it's negativity. Maybe it's an influence. Maybe it's an outside voice that's speaking into us. Maybe it's someone who's speaking negativity into your life and telling you can't do it. You need to tell them, yes, I can. No, I can't by myself, but with Christ, I can do all things. Even when the Israelites take possession of the promised land, they are first instructed to drive out all the inhabitants of the land. All the stuff, all the clutter, all the voices that are saying things that shouldn't be, drive it out. Get rid of those who make you doubt. Turn your back on those who question God. Leave behind those who make you question your place in the kingdom. I don't care who it is or what it is or where it is. There's some things you have to give to God. There's some people you have to give to God. I'm not saying don't witness. I'm not saying don't be a part of. I'm not saying go into the highways and byways. Christ himself did not hang out in the synagogues and the churches all the time. He went to where everybody else didn't want to go. But there comes a point in time when you've got to draw a line in the sand, and either they come up to where you are or they move on. Because if you don't hold that ground and they don't come up to where you are in your relationship with Christ, they will pull you down over time to where they are. Young people, hear me this morning. There are people in your school, they're good people, but they are confused. They need Jesus. You don't have to listen to their dirty stories. You don't have to repeat their nasty words. You don't have to act like they act. You don't have to take what they take. You don't have to be what they are. You can be a young man and a young woman, a young boy, a young girl that lives for God and takes a stand for Christ. You can say no to the enemy. Doesn't mean you're not cool. Doesn't mean you're cooler because you just said no. You're cooler because you did get rid of those inhabitants that were trying to invade your relationship with God. My dad told me years ago, one day I'll be dead and gone. He had no idea how right he was. One day you'll remember of this moment and you'll think, boy, if I had just listened to Daddy. Thank God I listened to him, but I have had many moments when I thought, thank God I listened to Daddy. Because there are temptations and there are things that the devil will put in front of you to try to distract you, to try to get you off course and out of kilter with the things of God. I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. If it's holding you back from the fullness and the glory of Jesus, you need to start praying, God, you make a change. God, you lead and guide me. God, you give me the wisdom to overcome this situation. Number two, purify the heart. The second thing God requires the Israelites to destroy is destroy the evidence of sin. Numbers 33 and 52 says, destroy all their pictures and destroy all of their molten images and quiet pluck down all their high places. God makes it very clear that he is a jealous, jealous God. You cannot inhabit the places of God, if you're holding on to sin. You cannot get into a right relationship if you're hiding things that only you and maybe God know about. You've got to clean it up. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to say, God, forgive me. God, wash me. God, cleanse me. God, making me a new man and a new woman. God, I can't be lukewarm anymore. You're going to be either hot or you're going to be cold. You cannot be lukewarm. Idols come in many forms. Inappropriate relationships, destructive habits, small, damaging piece of technology that is in most of your back pockets right now that you have things on it that nobody else can see or know about but you and God, and you think nobody else can see it, but God sees it. Be careful. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. I promise you, Al, you can hear a dirty joke today and not think about it for 20 years. And it'll pop in your mind. And it'll haunt you. There's some things I don't want to hear. There's some things I don't want to talk about. There's some places I don't want to be. There's some people that I don't want to just fellowship and have to endure and listen to all of their trash. What you put in, you will get out. If it hinders your worship, if it distracts your prayer time, if it keeps you from the house of God and the things of God and the people of God, maybe you need to check and see, has it become an idol to you and for you? Finally, if you're going to live in God's promises and abundant lessons, you've got to claim what is rightfully yours. To receive those blessings, you've got to claim it. Numbers 33, 53, and 54. He instructed them, I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. It's not enough for us just to look forward to God's promises. We've got to claim them. We've got to claim them. I am thankful for 28, 29 souls going to Texas on a youth, Faith Temple youth trip, kids trip, fellowship. I'm thankful for that. That is amazing. That is incredible. Why? Because it's brothers and sisters and young ones coming together in an atmosphere of right fellowship, in a safe place. I claim more of them in Jesus' name. I claim the blessings of God to be upon our children and to protect them and guide them. We've got to step out in faith knowing that God will clear a path for us. In Joshua chapter 2, it tells how two spies were sent and into the promised land with all the others. And while there, they discovered that the inhabitants of the land feared them. And all the others came back with a negative report, but these two. If God's wanting to take you somewhere, He will provide. He will clear a path. He will make a way. He will help you to overcome every single obstacle. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way at all. And all you have to do is claim the promises and move forward in faith. Faith without works is dead. You've got to activate your faith. Yes, I'm going to receive blessing. Yes, I'm going to have protection over my family, my children. God, you are going to supply each and every need. We have to rid life of people and things and stuff sometimes. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Sin is compelling. Sin is addicting. It's easy to say that we've let sin go and put it behind us when really we're just setting it off to the side because we want everybody to see our church Sunday morning service attitude and spirit. Woo! Glory to God. And we go out in our car, we're doing things and we're saying things and we're acting certain ways that we should not be. God is not pleased by that. God is not mocked. And the very single thing that He said He would do to them, He says, hey, I'll turn this over and do it to you. God made it clear they had to purge the land. God made it clear they had to get in right relationships. Romans 7, 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, as they come this morning. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Lots of do's and don'ts there. Let me clarify this for you. In other words, I don't understand why I do what I do. What I know I should do, I don't do it, Pastor. And what I know I shouldn't do, that's what I do. It's not what I want to do, you know, but sin's living in me. I have a desire to do what is right, but I can't do it alone. Because we live in flesh. Our flesh will stand in our way every single time. If we don't take precautions of removing certain things from our life, certain people, certain habits, certain idols, the choice is yours and only you can make it. Live in sin or live in God's promises. We talked about altars last week, and they're a place of sacrifice. I know we're going to take communion in just a little while. But I wonder if there's anybody here that would just like to come to the altar first and just lay something down. something you've been praying about, dealing with, would you come right now? Are there people in your life that maybe you've been worried about that you just need to say, God, you fix them or take them out of my life? Maybe there are group activities or that are hindering you from God's promises, or sinful habits, or things that nobody knows about. Are you willing to sacrifice those things this morning and claim God's promises? Is there somebody here that you're ready to claim God's promises, and you'll come and you'll say, God, here I am. I'm ready. Use me for your glory. Use me for your kingdom. Make in me a new man, a new woman. You can stay in the valley, or you can give yourself to God and pursue God's promises. It's all your choice. Come on now, just begin to call out for yourself. Call on the name of the Lord. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you in my heart. God, I don't have everything figured out, but I'm trusting you this morning. I'm doing some spring cleaning on my spirit today, God. I'm preparing for the promise. Lord, we all want the promises, and I'm asking you to give us the courage and the strength this morning, God, to go through the process to get to the promise. Oh, God, right now, come on, call out to him, Jesus. God, I thirst for you.
We search for you.
We searching for you right now, God.
In a dry and barren land, we're longing for you.
Come on, that's beautiful. Reach over and grab the hand of your neighbor right now. Lord, touch my brother. Touch my sister right now. Tell him I thirst for you right now. Lord, I search for you right now.
In a dry and barren land.
Thank you, Jesus, for your love.
We're longing for.
Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your grace, provision. Thank you, Lord, for these men and women who love you. Thank you, Lord, for these families. I'm asking you for strength. I'm asking you for deliverance. I'm asking you for healing. Thank you, Jesus. Folks, there is nothing like living in right relationship with God. There is nothing like being committed and sold out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've said it many, many times this past year. It is troubling to me, and it has been troubling to me, but I have come to the realization I cannot make any one of you live for God. Oh, to God that I could. But only you can decide to live for God. Only you can decide to be sold out and committed. We have wonderful examples who are here in our midst who have done it for years. At some point, every one of them had to make a decision for themselves as well. I'm going to live for God. Mama and Daddy are gone, but I'm going to live for God. Young people, don't just go through the motions. Find a relationship with Jesus for yourself. Because unfortunately, Mama and Daddy's not always going to be here. And you're going to have to live this for yourself. God, I pray right now over Faith Temple. I pray, God, that you would give us a desire and a fire and a fervency like never before. A passion for souls. A compassion for people. Lord, we care. We love. Lord, and you get hurt when you're like that. But I'm asking you to give us strength and to heal us. and to prepare in us to receive the promises, the blessings, the souls. And Lord, the prayer and the fasting and the sacrifice that is required, we are willing and well able. Lord, we're on the verge of a mighty revival. We're on the verge of a mighty outpouring of your Spirit. And I ask you to prepare in our hearts and our minds the conditions necessary to be in right relationship with you. Lord, we're going to take communion here in just a moment. I'm asking you, Lord, if there's anything that shouldn't be in my life, wash me, forgive me. Come on, ask it for yourself, Lord. If there's anything that shouldn't be where it needs to be, Lord, you make a way. You fix it, God. Make in me a new man, a new creature, a renewing of my mind, my spirit, in Jesus' precious name. As our ushers prepare to serve you this morning, you can stay right where you are and they will come to you. Thank you so much. I'm excited about what God is doing. I am hungry for an outpouring of His presence in our young people's lives and our homes. I told them in adult Bible study, if you weren't there, I want you to hear this. God is doing a mighty work in families that are represented here this very day. God is healing and putting together and touching homes, marriages, children relationships, job relationships like He's never done. And I am thankful for that. And no, not all of that stuff can be aired out, but just trust me and know God is not done with you. God is not done with Faith Temple. There are great things that are happening, and there are even greater things that are in place and are going to happen. And I am thankful for the outpouring of His Spirit. I'm thankful for the many lives that are being changed and young people's hearts that are being touched, and adults and parents and folks that are coming. Everyone who's come through the door has said, I've never been in a church where I feel love like I feel here. And I'm thankful for that. I thank you for that, because that is an atmosphere and an attitude that you create. That is a presence that you put out and you do, because you love people. Don't stop loving. Don't stop caring. Don't stop praying. Don't get weary in well doing. People will hurt us. People will come and people will go. But to God be the glory. Maybe that one little window of influence that we've had in their life someday will be the saving point for them. We find our text in Corinthians for our communion. You know, communion is not a have to every single day. It's not a must once or twice a year, but it says as often as you do it. We do it here usually on the first Sunday of each month, just kind of doing some spring cleaning. So if you've already received your bread and your drink, I wish you would just close your eyes right now as they continue to serve the rest. And just check yourself. Check your spirit. Check your heart right now. I haven't done it like this in a while, but I want you to be right. I want you to be ready. And if there's something that shouldn't be, ask God. God, cleanse me. God, forgive me. God, wash me. Lord, help my language, my attitude, my thoughts, whatever it is, just you and God right now, begin to pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, we thank you. God, we ask that you would reach down and touch and bless and provide. We ask, God, that you would do for us in this moment, cleanse our hearts. Lord, we're having a spring cleaning this morning. And God, we're asking you right now to wash us and to forgive. Ask Him, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, God. As I take communion today with my church family, Lord, wash me and cleanse me. In Jesus' name. We find our text in 1 Corinthians 11:24. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Take and eat the bread at this time. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Take and drink the cup at this time. "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." I wish with a voice of praise that you would just begin to thank him. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Come on, thank him with me. Lord, we thank you for your provision. We thank you, Lord, for being a way maker. God, we thank you for your many, many, many victories that you have given us. God, we're asking you right now to go with us in the days and weeks to come. Make us better men, women, children. Lord, as summer is beginning to wind down, God, we ask your hand of protection for every last trip, for every last movement over our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Greet one another. Make sure you grab Sister Anna. Give her a big old hug. Glad she is with us today. Glad that all of you are with us today. We love you. You are dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Make sure you grab the Sonniers too. Give them a big old hug. Sean loves hugs. Tell them we miss them. Glad they are here. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Bible study, youth service. Come expecting great things. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.